I like this ambassador business. Think how good it is for the president of a country or a prime minister or a premier or whatever to have an ambassador in a foreign country. And the ambassador is completely on the same page as you are. The ambassador is up to speed on your policies, on your wishes, and you're just unified. That would really give you a sense of peace and relaxation to know that they got it handled. I don't have to worry about it. And the ambassador really has a bit of a relaxing job too, because the ambassador doesn't have to invent anything. The ambassador doesn't have to have his own private ideas about anything. The ambassador just gets up to date on the wishes of the president, has a portfolio with all the designs and the desires, and then he goes to the other country as a perfect representative of the president. He's not speaking his own words. He doesn't have his own opinions, and that would be relaxing. You're not reinventing the wheel. You're not coming up with your own doctrines, your own teachings. It's a great situation. And the ambassador can say, this is a great thing. Well, listen to this. If you've heard me, you've heard the president. I speak for the president. If you heard me, you've heard the president. You know, the president doesn't need to come here, says the ambassador in a foreign country, a United States ambassador, let's say. Your president doesn't need to come here. You don't even need to call the president. You don't need to email the president. I speak for the president. And you know what? This is a good time probably to teach the verse, the Hitchcockian nightmare is back. There was one time where birds were unclean. I think they are still unclean. Dirty birds. Go away, kids, you bother me. Maybe it's tolerable, we'll see. All right, well anyway. When Jesus says to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip says, show us the Father. And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, the Trinitarians go nuts over this and they totally ruin it. They wreck the whole meaning of it. They think, oh, that proves that Jesus and the Father are the same being. No more the same being than an ambassador going to a foreign country saying, and the people in the country say, show us the president. We need to get on phone with the president. Don't bother. If you've heard me, you've heard the president. It makes everybody keeps their logical right mind about them, their wits. People keep their wits about them in this situation. But for some reason, when things turn theological, people lose their minds and they lose their heads. Oh, Jesus and God are the same being. No, Jesus is such a perfect representative of the Father. God doesn't need to come down here. He's got it covered with his son. Now, what does this do for you and me? Doesn't this make you feel good that God has entrusted us with a message? Now, this may give you help as to why Paul was so darn concerned that his message, that he'd get God's message right. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings here. I'll just say it concerning myself. When I go to a conference or when I'm telling somebody about God, nobody should give a crap what I believe. Who cares what I believe? Well, I believe that, I've heard people say this. In fact, someone just this morning said, well, I believe that we existed with God before we were born. And I want to say, who cares what you believe? Show me the scripture. There is no scripture for that. So we're relieved of having to give our opinions or our beliefs. Now, if I ask you for your opinion, if I ask you for your belief, that's another matter. But I want to hear what God has to say. Well, God says, paper, here comes the wind again. Oh my God. God says this. That's what I want to know. What does God say? I got to pick up my notes here. Hang on a second. Oh, Christ. I want to hear what God has to say. God says this, and that's how you should keep this in mind when you discuss this with people, when you talk about God with people. People generally don't want to hear what you think or what you believe. What does the Word of God say? And we have the Word of God concerning the conciliation. God is conciliated to the world through Christ. We have that. So this is what you say. God says he's conciliated. We're speaking for God. That's our ambassadorship. And it's a great thing. So back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're the detainer. We're also speaking on behalf of God. The secret of lawlessness is operating. We know that. Here's Satan's methodology right here, exposed for us in 2 Thessalonians. The man of lawlessness, his presence is in accord, that is in agreement, with the operation of Satan. And here's the operation of Satan: with all power and signs and false miracles, with every seduction of injustice among those who are perishing, those who believe a message of injustice. The bird's unclean. All right, I'm gonna have to put a pause on this and go to another location, because I can see that it's a vast avian conspiracy. I used to like birds, but I'll tell you what, I don't like them anymore. Unclean fowl, that's what I'm gonna call them from now on. I'm in a different location here, let's see. Now we got helicopters, who knows, the mailman could screw me up here, but hey, I can handle the mailman. So you can see how important it is to keep the word straight, because it's not our message, it's God's evangel. Even Paul said the evangel of God, he calls it. So that should put us in a relaxing position. We just need to figure out what the message is. And then we need to clear everything out of what the message isn't. Take all foreign elements out of it, keep the message pure, and herald it, and speak with authority. I'm not saying you're like reciting, you're not making it up, I'm not saying we all have divine inspiration. No, we're just getting the message straight. And when we get it right, we're ambassadors. Somebody commented on my show on Monday, which I really liked. She said, "Martin, I never realized before that someone who doesn't have the right message is not an ambassador of God." That's right. They're disqualified because they haven't taken care to get it right, just like an ambassador to a foreign country must take care to understand what the president's wishes and desires are. And that person then becomes a conduit of another mind. The ambassador isn't his own entity. The ambassador, God forbid, isn't going to another country to make his own rules, to wing it. You know, whenever I went to see Beatles tribute bands, when you see a Beatles tribute band, you want that band to reproduce She Loves You perfectly. You don't want them to riff on it. You don't want to hear them put their own little pizzazz on it. I don't want to hear your little pizzazz. I want to feel like I'm listening and watching the Beatles. I saw this happen once. There was a Beatles tribute band in Ohio that I really liked, and their first, I would go to a couple of their shows, and they were great. But you know, as their careers went on, and maybe 3 years later, they probably got tired of playing note for note the same songs, and so they would start put a little ba-da-da-dum, put their own little ba-da-bing, ba-da-boing into it, and it ruined it, completely ruined it. Translate the Beatles for us, and our job is to translate God's thoughts. We don't have to guess at them, they're in the scripture. So we have this diabolical being called Satan, who is using false miracles and every seduction among those who are perishing. The people who are believing the seduction, believing the false miracles, believing the lies, they are perishing. Perishing, it's an incomplete verb form. They are not living for the eon. That's what it is. And it's evidence. It's evidence. I'm always telling you, look for proof of whether somebody is a believer or an unbeliever. If they're believing lies, if they're believing false miracles, this is why I say don't look at Pentecostal type miracles, because I'm not saying God can't do legit miracles today, but it's just so tricky today, because the soup du jour is deception. That's what we're looking at today generally. So it's just a safe to say, just don't trust any miracle. Safe. This is a safe road. Don't trust any miracle today. This is not the day of miracles. That was in the actual Pentecostal era. The Pentecostals today are anachronistic. They're camped around a dinosaur. They're trying to recreate Pentecost. It's like a writer that goes to Paris and he thinks that this is the place to write because he's trying to relive the glory years of Paris in the roaring 20s, you know, when Hemingway was there and Joyce was there and Ford Madox Ford was there and all these great writers were there and they're trying to recreate it. Those guys are dead. There's no magic there. So we're not here to wing it, all right? So the question is, why are they perishing? They're perishing because they do not receive the love of the truth for their salvation. If you had any doubt that the perishing was anything but aeonian salvation, here it is. They do not receive the love of the truth for their salvation, or as the literal Greek reads, into their salvation. How many times have I told you that truth belongs to salvation? Not lies, not deception, not man-made teachings, but truth. Those who love the truth have salvation. But you have to love the truth. And I realize only God can plant that in you, a love for the truth. But nevertheless, there it is. It's right there. Someone who loves the truth will seek the Word of God out. God went to a lot of trouble to write Scripture. We don't need anybody who has beliefs. We don't need anybody who has thoughts or ideas or dreams. We want Scripture. So teach with confidence. After you realize what God's doing, in order to do that, you have to have a good translation. You should know what you're talking about. No, you must know what you're talking about. Only then can you teach and speak with authority. So Satan sends an operation. Oh, God sends an operation of deception for them to believe the falsehood. So God actually serves up the deception on a platter so that people will believe it. And you know, why would God do that? That disturbs a lot of people when they hear that. Well, it's the fact that God is it's a test. It's a test. It's not an experiment. God doesn't need to find out what's going on.
I need to find out who's a believer and who's not, so I'm going to put the deception over here and the truth over here. I'm going to make the deception really juicy, and I'm going to make the deception very popular, and I'm going to make the deception run by people with degrees, more degrees than Nebuchadnezzar's oven, and by that way I will find out.
No, God doesn't need to find out anything. It's for the sake, it's for the person. When that person stands at the great white throne and is judged, they will need to be shown to themselves that they never loved the truth. This will be the beginning of their reconstruction, of their restoration. They have to understand where their heart was the whole time. And God does that by serving up the deception on a platter. And it's easy to go for it because, again, it's the popular thing. That's why it's so easy to go for it. They do not receive the love of the truth. They're perishing. Seduction of injustice. Oh, there's a phrase for you. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. The seduction of injustice. What is unjust? Eternal torment is unjust. You're taking people who were born under Adam, no will of their own. We know that humanity was subjected to vanity, not willingly, Romans 8, 20, but by reason of him who subjected it in expectation that the creation itself, except for birds, will be delivered from this bondage to corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Mm-hmm. Except for birds. They don't love justice. They love injustice. They think they love justice, but they don't, because they relish the idea of some people burning in hell for eternity because they're not as smart as these other people aren't as smart as they were, you see. That all may be judged. See, here's the thing, and this points to the great white throne. That all may be judged who do not believe the truth, but delight in injustice. They don't believe the truth. How do you know that? It's simple. And many people stumble when I say this. They don't believe the truth because when you bring them the truth, they don't believe you. Well, Martin, it doesn't say they're not believing God. They're just not believing us. We're speaking on behalf of God. It is as though God is entreating through us. God is entreating these people through us. And so when they reject us, by extension, they are rejecting God. Is that a hard saying? It's okay. It's a true saying. I can't make that up. It's in 2 Corinthians 5. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 again. God is placing in us the word of the conciliation.
What is it?
It's right there in 2 Corinthians 5. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses against them. Plain as day. That's a good translation. It's solid. I can teach that with confidence. I don't have to say, well, I believe that God conciliated the world through Christ. Nobody cares what I believe. What does the Lord say? All right, so now I told you about Jesus sending out the disciples and he makes the startling statement that any house that does not receive you, Peter, James, and John, it will be more tolerable for the city of Sodom and for the city of Gomorrah. Which, by the way, how destroyed were Sodom and Gomorrah when they end up being resurrected and standing before God at the great white throne? Get so many people, you know, have told me in the past, oh, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were utterly destroyed. True. They were wiped out by fire and sulfur. True. 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 My question always is, then what happens to them? Ha ha. Nobody ever asked that question. Then what happens? Then they're raised at the great white throne and they're stood next to the people who you brought the truth to, and they rejected you. They told you that you were nuts. They told you you were crazy. This is actually going to happen. The great white throne. There's the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah. Ooh, haven't seen those people in a while. And they're standing next to your Uncle Joe, who rejected your testimony. It is going to go better for the sin-laden residents of Sodom in that day. It's going to go better for them than Uncle Joe. I hate to say this, but it's true. Why? Because Uncle Joe had the truth delivered to him on a silver platter through you. But of course, familiarity breeds contempt, so your Uncle Joe looks at you and says, who are you? You mean you're right and all these Greek scholars are wrong? Well, I don't know. Let's check up on the Greek scholars. Get out a concordance. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, the concordance is true because it's a subjective, it's an objective record of how the translators translate. You can't argue with it. It's just nobody's opinion is being thrown in here unless you look at the man-made definitions. Forget definitions. Let's look at context, divine context. You define a word by the company that it keeps. That's the way God wanted it, and that's the way he got it. And so by this, we can have an objective teaching that's not based on anyone's opinion. So you show them, and yes, I'm right, and all the scholars are wrong. Absolutely. Wait a minute, you're right. Look, I'm telling you the truth. Believe what I'm telling you, or it's going to go bad for you at the Great White Throne. You're going to wake up at the Great White Throne and realize that you missed the 1,000 years. Totally pass without your knowledge, because you're going to be dead during it. Because you didn't believe what I told you. It's that serious. That's the weight we have. That's how important it is when you give somebody the truth. It's their hour of visitation. And God himself is bringing them a message through a certified, accredited, trained, and knowledgeable ambassador. And when they reject you, they're rejecting God. Paul says, after one and a second admonition, walk away. They've turned themselves out. They're perishing. Well, but they're such nice people, Martin. You know, they have good intentions and everything. Doesn't matter. They don't love the truth because they just fell right into the deception that God also served up. He serves up the deception next to the truth as a test for them. It's for them in the day of judgment. But it's like when Jesus comes back to the earth and he separates the nations one from the other. We read a record of that in Matthew chapter 25. And, you know, it's at that time where people are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do righteous works in your name? In your name, in your name. Who can say that except Christians? Who uses the name of Christ except Christians? Yet Jesus will say, depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Ha ha. That's not, I'm not laughing at it. It's a horrible, it's nightmare situation because I actually feel bad for the people. And they're going to argue at the Great White Throne, what do you mean, Lord? Jesus is going to say to them at the great white throne, he's going to say to them, you didn't love the truth. I loved the truth. All my life I pursued the truth. No, you didn't. Prove it, Lord. Oh, God's going to say, roll the tape. Roll the tape. And they're going to see their encounter with you. And then this, the truth is going to slowly sink into them then. And they're going to go, ah, shit. A lot of people are going to say, ah, shit, that was the truth, wasn't it? God's going to say, yep. And they kept sending you books. They kept linking you to videos. And you were more interested in the popular religion than you were the truth. And then at that point, they'll be completely convicted. They'll realize it. And they'll be broken. They'll be sad. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth at that time. And that time they'll come to a realization of what you and I realize now. And it'll be their come to Jesus moment. This is why Paul says now is an acceptable day of salvation. This is a glorious window. But it's too easy for people. Everybody's going to believe it at the great white throne. The great white throne is not going to require any faith whatsoever. Faith is not the issue at the great white throne. Faith is the issue now. Now is when God speaks through despised, forsaken, uncelebrated ambassadors. Then they're going to be standing before the throne of God and everything's going to be evident and they're going to go, it's not going to be like, I believe. It's going to be like, yeah, okay, duh. It's obvious now what all happened. Isn't it nice that it's obvious to us now?